Okay, we are in Shmuel Beis Perek Yudches, the 18th Perek, and we are finishing up with the Mered, the rebellion of Avshalom against David HaMelech, the final straw in the punishment that happened to David HaMelech. If we remember the fourfold punishment, he already has lost Tamar and Amnon, and now Avshalom is going to be reach his downfall. So what happened? David already is on the run. If we remember, Achitophel has committed suicide, and Avshalom is chasing after David. David HaMelech splits up in this perek his army into three parts, and they all spread out to fight Avshalom's army. The king says, okay, I'm going with one of you, and they say, no, you are not coming, you are staying home. If you come, then they're going to fight harder, you stay home. The king says, okay, fine, I'll stay home, but please, try to win the war, but don't touch my son Avshalom. Don't kill him. He gives specific instructions, and everybody hears the instructions. So they go out to war in Ya'ar Ephraim, in the forest of Ephraim, and there are tremendous battles. 20,000 of Avshalom's troops are killed, and the Navi describes how even more than were killed by David's men were killed by the forest itself. The forest was a dangerous place. Vayikari Avshalom. Avshalom was traveling, and he happened upon some of David's men. As he was riding on his animal, he went by a low-hanging branch, and his long hair was caught on one of the long-hanging branches, and he was caught hanging between heaven and earth, hanging on the by his hair. And meanwhile, a man sees that, reports it to Yoav, and Yoav says, why don't you kill him? He says, I didn't kill him, because David told me not to kill him. Yoav's like, well, you're wrong. Yoav goes spears Avshalom a couple of times. He doesn't die yet, so his men spear him a couple of more times, and Avshalom is killed. He's buried in the forest in a hole, and the Navi just describes that Avshalom, even before he had died, had set up a monument for himself because he had no children to follow his path, but that was what he had set up. We'll have to talk about the significance. Then Achimatz ben Sadok says to Yoav, let me go quickly and tell the king what happened. And Yoav says, no, the king is not going to want to know. This is bad news. You don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Let somebody else go who doesn't really know David. So Yoav sends a Cushi, sends a Na'ar to run, and he runs, and Achimatz says, please, please, I want to go. So Yoav says, fine, okay, but I'm telling you, I'm warning you. So Achimatz runs, he overtakes the Cushi, he gets to David first, and the king says, what's going on? And Achimatz says, well, we're winning the war, Baruch Hashem, and the rebellion is being squashed. He says, what about my son Avshalom? Achimatz says, I don't know. He does lies, pashtus, because he doesn't want to tell him. He sees what the king is interested in. Then the Cushi comes, and the Cushi says, Hashem is taking care of your enemies. The king says, what about my son Avshalom? And the Cushi says, he has met the fate of all of those who will start up with David HaMelech. Basically, he tells him that he was killed, and we'll have to see in the next parak what David's reaction was upon hearing that Avshalom has been killed. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the parak. Parak Yudches. Says the Navi, Vayifkod David. Vayifko David, as we saw at the end of the previous parak, the tide has been turning. David counts as Amasharito, Vayasam Alam Sari Alafim Sari Meos. David counts the people and he splits them up into groups of thousands and hundreds. Asks the Mefarshim, asks the Mizrahi, beginning of Parshas Kisisa, one of the great commentaries on Rashi. How did David count? We know elsewhere later on, David HaMelech was punished for counting the Jews. You're not allowed to count the Jews. There's an issur of counting the Jews, the Gemara says. So how did David count the Jews here? So one of the answers given, the Mizrahi's answer is that he only counted part of Am Yisrael. And there's no issur of counting part of Am Yisrael. There were other times that he counted part of Am Yisrael, but here there was a tzarech. It is a tzarech. Only counting part of Am Yisrael is only aser derabanan. And if there is a shas atchak, you have to know how you're splitting up your armies, so then it would be okay. So that's how David HaMelech counted them. So he counted them, split them into three groups. Vayishalach David Esa'am, he let them go. Shlishis b'yad Yoav, a third of them were under Yoav. Shlishis b'yad Avishai, under Avishai. Both of those, if you remember, were David's nephews, sons of his sister Tzruya, Achi Yoav. And Yoav and Avishai, of course, the third brother has already been killed earlier in the Sefer. Vashlishis b'yad Itai Hagiti. And the third one was sent in the hands, and who was at the helm? Itai Hagiti, David's friend, who we have seen earlier. The problem is, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, Kol Sraro Shebi Yisrael, Lo Sar Tzvav, Lo Sar Chabishim, Lo Yiu Elam Yisrael, Shenemar Mikar Vachecha Tosim Alecha Melech. The Rambam says clearly that you can't have a convert, you can't have a non-Jew being a ruler in a ruling position over the Jews. So how did David appoint Itai to this? So suggest that read at Yitzchak, it's based on the Das Zakenim. The Das Zakenim Mibali Atosos in Parshas Mishpatim says, when do you say that you're not allowed to? Only if there are no Jews that could do the job. But if there's nobody like him that could do the job, then you're allowed to point a ger, you're allowed to point a non-Jew. So therefore, here too, Pashas Itai was the best man suited for the job, and that's how David HaMelech appointed him. Vayomer HaMelech al ha'am yatzo, etze gam ani imachem. I should go with you, says David. Vayomer ha'am lo teitze, the Am says, no, you can't go. Ki em nos nanus, if you run, lo sasimu elein alev. If we go, and we take you and you're with us, they are knocking us back down. They're going to fight to the finish. They're going to want you because that's their goal, to kill you. And they're going to fight harder. As we saw in the last parak, when people are cornered and they see the goal, they fight harder. So here, if you come with us, they're going to fight harder. Even if half of us, even if 10,000 of us are killed, but that won't be enough for them, they want you. Better, you stay here, they won't fight as hard, and you'll also be able to help us from here. You could be in the city helping us from here. What is that? What was he doing? So says the Radak, say the Mefarshim, davening. Daven for us from the city. The Mishpat Zozov quotes a suggestion. What does it mean, from the city? From what city? From Yerushalayim. Right? The Mefarshim explained, Me'ir la'azor, she'yamod b'tfilo la'havias ezer Elohim, Me'ir hi Yerushalayim. Ir Hashem la'azor osanu. And that also explains, Chazal tell us, the Abarbanel quotes this, that at this time, when his people were battling with Avshalom, that's when David wrote Mizmar Yud Mizmar Chaf in Tehillim. Lam Natzeach Mizmar Lo David. Yancha Hashem Biyom Sara Yisakev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. We say in there, Yumitzion Yisadeka Yishlach Ezracha Mikodesh. Send your Ezra. Send your help from the Kedusha Umitzion and from Yerushalayim Yisadeka. And that's when Yoav went out to war. David was in here. Maybe he was on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. And that's where they told him to stay, right? Tialanu Meir Lazar, stay here. The Musar Nevi'im also discusses Pashtus David's learning Torah, could also protect, right? It's not just the davening that he had, but it's also the Torah that he was going to learn. Okay, he agrees, I'll stay home. But he gives one point of instruction. Everybody's there. And the king commands Yoav, Avishai, and Itai, La'atli lanar l'avshalom. Care for my son. Don't be too rough with him. The whole nation heard. The three leaders heard it. The Navi makes sure we know in the presence of all. Why did David do this? Why was David so insistent? They not heard Avshalom was a Morab Malchus. What? So you could say that a king could be Mochel on his Morab Malchus. We discussed that a little bit last time. But why? So says the Ralbag beautifully. The Ralbag says no. David realized that this was still part of his punishment. So it's not fully his fault. Of course, yes, it is his Bechira. But says the Ralbag, Vihine asa David zeh lefi masha echshov, ki uchashav sha'avono bevat sheva sibev es kol zeh. Uki'ilu haya Avshalom bazeh hapoel kli lo havigzeiras Hashem yisbarach al David. But masha amar lo, hineni make him alecha ram, yivesecha. Ulazera she'ein l'Avshalom pesha al zeh. So he says, was it Avshalom's fault? Uvishtadel mipnei zeh batzal aso. That's why he wanted to save him. You know, it didn't work out that way, because as we mentioned, Hashem didn't decree that Avshalom should do it. So he was deserving of punishment, but at least David was saying, that's why I think he was partially taking the blame. Or others say, even if he was a Morab Malchus, maybe this type of Morab Malchus needs to have a judgment against him, and he didn't have a Gemar Din, let's bring him back and deal with him. But that is the instructions that he gave. La'atli lina'ar la'avshalom. So they go out, and there's a milchama, a heavy milchama, where? In Ya'ar Ephraim, in the forest of Ephraim. Pasuk Vav. What does it mean, Na'ar Ephraim? David HaMelech, if you remember, had run to Aver Hayarden, right? He was there, and he had run over the across the Jordan, and he was hiding. as we mentioned last time, Aver Yardin, who had Nachla there? Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe. What's Ephraim? What do you mean? He was on that the east side of the Jordan, and he's fighting in Har Ephraim. So where did he have that? Says Rashi, right here. Mitoch Shehisna Yeshua, Shiyamar and Becharshin. Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama, in Perek Merubah, where the Gemara says at the end of Perek Merubah, there were 10 conditions that Yeshua made, societal takanos, so to speak. And the first one on the list, Peyama Beis, Peyalpha Manalef, Taner Abadan, Asara Tzron, Hisna Yeshua, Shiyamar and Becharshin. Everybody will let other people bring their sheep and graze in the forest, because it's not hurting you if it's inside the forest, and everybody will do that even without asking permission. Rashi says, Shiyumarin behemos becharshin, Rashi there in Baba Kama, velo yakpit bal yarakach. So says Rashi here in Shmuel Beis that it must be that this was a field that Ephraim was close to the border, and even though this wasn't technically Ephraim's nachla, but this is where they shepherded and grazed their animals, and that's why it was known as Ya'ar Ephraim, even though technically it was not. The Musar Nevi'im also notes, insightfully, like we had earlier, David HaMelech went out of Yerushalayim because he didn't want bloodshed in Yerushalayim. Maybe he also didn't want bloodshed in all of Eretz Yisrael. He felt the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael proper. So yes, Eber Yardin has some level of Kedusha, but that's why he Dafka went there, so the battle could be there. Kamen HaTamazeh says the Musar Nevi'im, Ef Shaloma de lo ratza lasos es kala melchama bi Yehuda o bi Galil, bebreisha shama Kedusha gadola bi Yosir mi Kedusha Eber HaYardin. It's a higher level Kedusha, and that's why he didn't want the battle to be waged there. So, the battle's in Ya'ar Ephraim. Vayinaklu Shalom Yisrael, and Am Yisrael from Avshalom were hit by the Avdei David, 20,000 men. Vadisham HaMelchama Nafotzes Apnei Kal Aretz. The Melchama was very spread out. Vayerev Hayar Lecho Ba'am Me'asher Ach Lacher Vayomahu. And the forest ate and destroyed and hurt more of the people than the sword did. What does that mean? Rashi says, quoting the Targum, the Chayos Ra'os, there were so many wild, ferocious animals. Those animals were, it was so dangerous. So that's more people were, hurt and killed by those animals than even by David's men. The Radak quotes, no, the trees themselves, there were crazy hanging branches and riding on horses and other quick animals, people got hurt and killed by those branches. See, it was the forest, either the animals or the trees themselves. Vayikare Avshalom lefnei Avdei David, and Avshalom, Vayikare, Lashon Mikre, he happened by chance, obviously nothing's by chance, were in front of Avdei David, and he was Rochev ala Pered, Vayavo aperetacha Sovecha, Eila Hagdola. His animal runs under, his mule runs under a certain tree. Vayechzak rosho ba'ela, his hair gets caught. Vayutan, ben ha-shamayim u'ben ha-areth, and he's hanging between heaven and earth. Va'peret ha-shatachta v'avar. And the parrot kept going, but he was hanging by his hair. The Gemara says, why didn't he just cut off his hair? He had a sword, Mistama, so why didn't he just cut the hair and then come down and run away? Says the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yudam Abayz, no, because he saw Gehenim open up under him. Ba'osa Shah Nivka Sha'ol Mitachtav. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim explained, he saw that if he comes down and runs away, he's going to get caught by David, he's going to be killed, and he's not going to get to Olam Haba, he's not going to get out of Gehenim. But if he stays, so maybe he'll be punished so much by being killed in a such lowly way, so that will give him a kapara. And that's why he decided, according to this, not to cut his hair. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar even adds in one line to the Gemara. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar in Perek Nun Gimel. Mipnei ma lo shalaf charbo v'kara sa rosho v'yarad. Why didn't he just cut his hair and then run away? Ela ra gehenim shediv tachatachta. He saw gehenim under him. Amar, mutav li lihi talos b'sar roshi v'lo leirid be'esh. Better for me to be hanging here and not go into the fire. So what does that mean? Does that mean, you might read it also as, he still loved his hair, even though he was going to cause it to die. He still loved his hair, but you might say it's a little deeper. Right? Chazal do say there also on Daf Tes that he was brought down by his hair. The Gemara says that there were certain people that had a tremendous gift, and they were broken by the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Right? The Gemara says in Sota on there that the ones Shimshon Be'ena Marat Shimshon with his eyes, Avshalom with his hair, Avshalom Nisga'e B'Sa'aro, the Mishnah says, Sota Davtes, Avshalom was raised up and Gaiva about his hair, Lefichal Nitla B'Sa'aro, And that's how he was punished. He was punished by getting caught on his hair. But either way, he's hanging there. He doesn't make his way down. Vayar ish echad, somebody sees, and Vayagi Yoav, he tells Yoav, Yoav says, why don't you kill him? Vayomer Yoav lo isha magidlo. Videi ra'iso madua lo ikiso shamarto. Why didn't you kill him? Yoav felt that he was a rodef. You have to kill him. Right, this whole rebellion, he's chayiv misa, he's mor b'malchus, he's a rodef, you have to kill him. I would have given you money. Vayomer ha'ishal Yoav. Velu anochi shokal akapi elef kesef. Any amount of money you could have given me, lo eshlach yodi al ben hamelech. I wouldn't touch the son of the king, especially after I heard what David HaMelech said. And the ish continues, it says, and even if I would have done it in hiding, the king would have found out. Vayomer Yoav pasuk yudale lochein achila lefanecha. That's not what I ask of you. So Yoav took the law into his own hands. Vayikach shlosha shvata b'chapo. He took three swords. And he stabbed Avshalom three times. Amazingly, he was still alive after this. Right, the Gemara, the Mishnah, that same Mishnah, and so to Tesma Beis. Because Avshalom stole the hearts of three, the heart of his father, the heart of Bezin, the heart of Am Yisrael, as we read earlier, Vayiganev Avshalom is Lev Anshe Yisrael. So that's why he had three spears stuck into him. And we continue. Vayasobu Asar Naarm, 10 Naarm surrounded him, and then they all went to him and killed him. The Mishnah says, because he was lived with the 10 pilakshim of his father, that's also mida kenegan mida miduyak, that he was stabbed these 10 times by Misu, and they killed him. By Yaakov by Misu. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Kof Gimel that Avshalom was one of the few people on the list. Ein lo chelek la olam haba. Based on this double lashon, by Yaakov by Misu. Ein lo chelek la olam haba. One other point here. And that is, why did 10 people all at once? Says the Mishnah Zav, maybe I'll derek Jerusha a little bit. They don't want to be held accountable to David either. So we know, if 10 people kill somebody all at once, and you can't pinpoint who actually did the killing, so they're all putter. Right? Asara Shahargu. Right, so that maybe that's the message of this pasuk, that is also what happened here. Right, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Yiku Asar B'nei Adam Be'eser Maklos Be'ba Basachas Be'ba Zachar Zev Ameis Kulan Peturim. They're all pata because you don't know who killed him. Vayiska Yoav Ashofer Vayashav Amerdov Achar Yisrael. After Avshalom is killed, Yoav calls the troops back. Ki Chasach Yoav Esa'a. And they took Avshalom by Eshlichu Oso Bayar Elapachas Hagadol. They dumped him in a pit. They made a gal avanim on him, and everybody went back to their tents. The Avshalom, and now the pasuk adds, why here? Avshalom lakach vayatzev lo b'chayav. While he was still alive, he made a monument for himself. Es matzevas asher be'emek hamelech. Ki amar ein li ben. Bavur hizkir shemi. I have no son that's going to carry on my name. Earlier we saw that Avshalom had some kids. Right, so they must have died. We mentioned that Chazal earlier. They must have died. So he made a monument. And they call it Yad Avshalom until today. So different Mefarshim discuss why exactly, what is this Pasuk doing here? So the Radak says, this is what he set aside earlier as his burial place. So after they buried him in this pit, the Radak says they took him out at some point, and they reburied him by Yad Avshalom. If you look in the Malbim, you look in the Barbanel, they argue. No, the Barbanel says here beautifully. He says, let me read it. Barbanel says, you know what the message of having this right afterwards? He made this whole monument that he's going to have covet, he's going to have a parade. Vezelo Niskar, he says, Echshov Shekivin Akasiv Bazel Omar, Ki Rabos Machshavas Belevish, Vatzas Hashem Itakum. People are do many things, but it's up to God. Ki Hine Avshalom Heitzev Bechaya Vatzeva Yafeh Be'emek HaMelech Levan Hizkir Shmo. He made this whole beautiful thing, and how did he die? Like a lowly animal thrown into a pit. Right, and people, he made this big monument, and you know, this is what happened to him. That's the contrast, the irony, how much he's focused on himself, and look what happens. Kind of reminds us of Ploni Almoni. He was so worried about his name that we don't even know his name, Ploni Almoni. Famous story. We'll get back to this next parak also about Hashem, about Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that during Aseret Yimei Tshuva, every year he used to go to Yad Avshalom, which is right outside the old city walls. It's in the Emek there, and now it's broken off, the top of it is broken off, but Yad Avshalom, he went there. Why? Because we're going to see David's reaction, even though Avshalom rebelled against him. David HaMelech didn't want them to kill him, he wanted to have Rachmanis, and when he actually died, he was heartbroken. So we rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz every year used to go to Yad Avshalom, right? In order to Shach and Shbrachel, we rebelled, but please have Rachmanis on us. Okay, second half of the parak. So Achimatz ben Sadok says, let me go and tell the king. Yoav says, no way. He's not going to be happy. Don't go. Vayomar Yoav laKushi. So Yoav instead sends the Kushi lechagei lamelech. You, he sends a Kushi, you go tell the melech. The Perek Yedor Belazer says, who was this Kushi? Kushi throughout Tanakh is often used to mean somebody, something unique about a person. Moshe's wife is called Kushi. Just like a Kushi is unique in his skin color, so too, this person was unique in his emunah. So the Perek Yedor Belazer says that the person that Yoav sent was the guy who told him about Avshalom, who stood up on principle and said, I don't want to kill him. So that's the one that Yoav sent, according to the Perek Yedor Belazer. Achimat says, why can't I go? I want to go. And Yoav says, no. He says, no, I really want to go. Why do you want to go so badly? So again, the Mishmar Zozov suggests, remember, Achimatz was the one who was the double agent who went out of Yerushalayim to tell David what was going on. So maybe Amaschel b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. He started the process of Hatzalah, see, he wanted to finish it. Either way, he runs, and he even goes faster than the Kushi. Right, this is a very famous pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayavar es haKushi. He went in front of the Kushi. What's that the source for? Making brachas before we do a mitzvah. Vayavar es haKushi. He went in front of the Kushi. That's the marker for over la'asiyasan. And he goes, and David sees him. There's a lookout that tells David, there's one person coming, there's another person coming. Achimatz comes first. He tells David, we're winning the war. What about my son Avshalom? He doesn't answer. He says, I don't know. And then the Kushi comes and tells David the bad news. And we will have to see David's reaction in the next parak. But now, at this point, what Nathan had told David about the punishment that he is going to get, you know, has all been fulfilled. Right? He says that you are going to have a fourfold punishment, and the back in Perek Yud Beis, Pasik Vav, Esakivso Yishalim Arbatayim. David HaMelech himself said he should pay four times. That's the baby that died, Tamar, Amnon, and Avshalom. Now all four have been fulfilled. Okay, we'll stop here.